The reading today is taken from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord. Charles.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Charles. Let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you for this time of meeting together when we can experience your presence here in our midst and hear your voice speaking to us. So, Lord, give us receptive hearts, especially as we look now at your word together, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The theme for this morning was mercy on the margins, but I've changed that slightly to the compassion of Jesus to fit in with our theme for today being Compassion Sunday. So because it ties in very closely with a reading that we've had from Mark's Gospel, and that reading was very appropriate because no matter how compassionate we may be, we will never be as compassionate as Jesus. This, of course, is seen in every miracle he performed, including the healing of blind Bartimaeus. Now, I don't know about you, but I love the miracles, not just because of their place in Scripture, but also their place in the world today. But having said that, some so-called miracles leave a lot to be desired. The Reverend Ian Paisley, when he was alive and well, was out driving along a country road one day when a hare ran across the road in front of him. And he couldn't stop, so he ran over the hare. And when he got the car stopped, he got out and looked at the hare lying there on the road. And he was devastated. Then another car pulled up behind him, and the Roman Catholic priest got out. And he said, "Is there anything wrong?" "Yes," Paisley said, "I'm afraid I have killed this hare." So the priest took a little bottle out of his pocket, took off the top, and sprinkled the contents over the hare. And immediately the hare jumped up and ran off as fast as it could. And Ian Paisley was amazed, and he said to the priest, "That's a miracle." He says, "That's powerful stuff you have in that little bottle. What is it? Is it holy water?" "No," said the priest, "it's hair restorer." Or we can take, for example, this couple, the Murphy family. Now, they'd been married for about 8 years and hadn't any family. And so they were getting a little bit concerned. So one day, Pat went to see his local priest to talk to him about this problem. And the priest's suggestion was that he should go to Lourdes and light a candle. And so, true enough, Pat headed off to Lourdes and lit a candle. And every year after that, they were blessed with a new baby. And by this time they had about 5 or 6 children. And so when the priest called to visit them one day, he noticed that Pat wasn't there. So he said to Patricia, his wife, "Where is Pat today?" OSHA said, he's gone back to Lourdes to blow out the candle. Well, let's get back to Bartimaeus. This event in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ is not only well known, but it is also loved by every one of his disciples. Not just by the 12 who were with him at that time, but by all his followers down through the years, even to the present time. One of the greatest of all preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who is the founder of the Baptist Church, made this remark. He said, "The healing of this blind man is unique in the New Testament for the warmth of its tone, but more particularly for the fact that this is the only person healed by Jesus in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, whose actual name is recorded, Bartimaeus. And also, incidentally, the name of his father, because Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus." It's quite possible that by the time Mark wrote this gospel, this family were well-known members of one of the Christian congregations, and Bartimaeus never tired of recounting the events of that never-to-be-forgotten day when he first saw Jesus. Would you, if something as miraculous as that happened in your life? I'm sure Janet, down there on the left, never tires of telling people how God healed her from cancer roughly 3 years ago, here in this church building. David Inman, who sometimes is with us at the 9 o'clock service, will never tire of telling people of how God saved his life by having the right person in the right place at the right time, one who could administer first aid or CPR when he suffered a heart attack at the level crossing. That person being Sue Grant, who knew what to do until the paramedics arrived. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The same Lord Jesus who healed Bartimaeus on the roadside near Jericho is still healing people today, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we have experienced the Lord's healing touch in our lives, we get excited about it and about what he can do in other people's lives as well. Being a follower of Jesus was exciting when he walked this earth, because no 2 days were ever the same. One day it was witnessing the deliverance of a demon-possessed boy. Or another day it was casting out a legion of demons, as was the case with the Gadarene demoniac. Another day it was bringing someone back to life, as was the case with Jairus' daughter, the widow of Nain's son, and the raising of Lazarus, who had been dead and in the tomb for 4 days. On other occasions, it was feeding 5,000 people or more, stilling the storm, even walking on water, as well as healing people who were blind, to mention just a few of the miraculous things that Jesus did when he walked this earth. It was no wonder that vast crowds of people followed him because of all these signs and wonders. But what about today? Why are we not seeing these signs and wonders that his earlier followers witnessed? Yes, we are grateful for what we have seen in Janet's life and also in David Inman's life, but we want to see more. when John Wimber became a Christian, he got excited as he read the scriptures and discovered the miraculous works of Jesus, which included the healing of blind Bartimaeus and many others. He said, "When are we going to start doing the stuff that we read about in the scriptures?" He couldn't understand why churches today were not excited about the healing ministry of Jesus in the same way that he was. So when he became a pastor of the church at Yorba Linda, a healing ministry was high on their list of priorities, as can be seen on this notice board here. Because a good notice board outside a church is very important. We have had a notice board outside St. Andrew's for quite a while now, but I'm afraid it didn't say anything. And now the notice board I noticed this morning has disappeared. It's moved elsewhere. So I presume that something's happening, that very soon there will be a new board up there. David has his fingers crossed. So I think some action has been taken, because it's amazing on the high street there how many people are sitting in their cars waiting for the barrier to go up, and they're looking across at St. Andrew's, and they see that there's nothing on that notice board, or they have seen that there was nothing on that notice board. So they think that nothing very much is happening inside this church building. We know differently, but they don't know that. And so a good notice board is important to let the public know what the church is about. We have a healing prayer meeting on the second Tuesday evening of each month, run by Janet. And only a small number of people attend that. But that's the sort of thing that can be on the notice board, to let people know what is happening so that they can come and receive ministry if they want to. And so I hope it won't be long until there's a very attractive board up there on that wall once again. In March, thinking of Yorba Linda and the church that John Wimber was minister of, in March 1978, after 10 months of preaching and praying without anyone being healed, John Wimber saw their first healing miracle. And from then on, the church grew rapidly and began to experience an even greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Up until his death in 1997, God used him mightily in helping other churches all over the world to grasp the importance of this ministry today. So, as we think of Bartimaeus this morning, the first point that I want us to look at, and I hasten to add, David, they're brief points this morning, is the plight of Bartimaeus. We are told that Bartimaeus was a blind man sitting by the roadside begging. He was not partially sighted. He was blind and had been blind from birth. He could not see the beauty of the birds and the butterflies, rainbows, flowers, the trees, everything that there is around. He could not visualize the world of creation all around him. At night when he closed his eyes, and in the morning when he opened them again, it was all alike, just utter darkness. That was the world he lived in, and the New Testament tells us that that is the world occupied by all men and women who do not know and love our Lord Jesus Christ. They live in a world of utter darkness. Tell them about the Savior who died for them on the cross, and they cannot grasp it. Bring them to a church service, and whereas they are aware of people speaking and singing, they just can't see the point of it. They are blind because the god of this world, the devil, has fastened a thick, secure blindfold around their eyes and they see nothing of the glories of the living God. Until that blindfold is removed and their spiritual eyes are opened, they remain in spiritual darkness, similar to the physical darkness Bartimaeus was experiencing at that time. And the second point is the knowledge of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was not a moron. Sometimes handicapped people get treated as if they were simpletons, when in fact they are intellectually much brighter than the people shouting at them or talking down to them. The most important thing about Bartimaeus was that he was a man made in the image of God. He could think and reason and rationalize. He'd heard about Jesus of Nazareth, even as far south as Jericho, because the teaching and the preaching, plus the miraculous signs and wonders of our Lord, were the talking point of the women at every well and market, and the men who gathered at the city gates. Their conversations may have been something like this: who is he, meaning Jesus? Where does he come from? What did his father do? What is his message? What about his miracles? Everyone had a cousin or an auntie or an uncle or friend whose life had been transformed by Jesus. Bartimaeus heard all this with his keen sense of hearing, and he thought about it in a way that Annas and Caiaphas, the chief priests, never did. He had heard about the miracles of Jesus, but because of his blindness, he had not witnessed any of them. What would we do if someone near and dear to us had a rare genetic disease, and we heard of an identical person who was healed by an extraordinary physician? What would we do if we discovered that that physician was coming to our town of Harrogate? What would our love for this dear one and our desire to see him or her healthy again constrain us to do? We would want to seek out that doctor and bring our loved one to him and plead for him to examine him or her and cure them. It would be inhumane for us to simply do nothing. Let's see how Bartimaeus responded when one day he heard the bustle of a large crowd of people as they passed the place where he sat begging. When asked what was happening, someone told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. He could easily have responded by thinking, "This is my lucky day. I'll get a few more shekels in my bowl if I shout loud enough." Well, he did shout loud enough. People tried to stop him, but the more they tried, the louder he shouted, and it wasn't for alms either, because the first word on his lips was, "Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." This was a cry from the heart that Jesus would do for him what he had done for many other people. When we call out to God with that same depth of sincerity, God will indeed hear us, because that is his promise. And then the final point is the response of Jesus. We are told that Jesus stood still. The cries of a poor, worthless man were enough to cause the maker of the universe to stop in his tracks. Jesus had time for him, so he said, "Call him. Call him." There were hundreds there, but Jesus singled him out and showed love, grace, and compassion on the man who in faith cried out to Jesus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus says, "Call him." That was his challenge to the crowd on that day near Jericho. And it is his challenge to all of us today, to call people who need the Saviour's healing, forgiving, compassionate touch. We are to call them, and we are to bring them to Jesus so that he can meet them at the point of their need, whatever that need might be. The question Jesus asked Bartimaeus was this: what do you want me to do for you? The answer the blind man gave him was this: Rabbi, I want to see. He didn't want anything more or anything less than that. He was specific in his request. How specific are we when we pray? Perhaps the reason we are not seeing more signs and wonders today is because we are not specific enough in our requests. Let's remember the words of Jesus then to Bartimaeus: go, your faith has healed you. So how strong is our faith today as we think of the healing ministry of Jesus? We have proof of this in other people's lives, but still we may have doubts in our own lives. So let's remember that our God is able to do far more for us than we can even ask or think, because that's how great and mighty and powerful our God is. Amen.